for us, the nice thing about running paid advertising is you can measure everything and you can make every decision based on analytics and data. And so, you know, that's the world I live in. So for me, it's sort of like, how could you not live in that world? But it's foundational for what we do. And I think should be foundational for all marketing, to be honest.
You're listening to Be That Lawyer, life-changing strategies and resources for growing a successful law practice. Each episode, your host, author, and lawyer coach, Steve Fritzen, will take a deeper dive, helping you grow your law practice in less time with greater results. Now, here's your host, Steve Fritzen.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Be That Lawyer. I am Steve Fritzen, as the announcer just mentioned, and I hope you're having a lovely day. Look, it is time to get serious about building your book of business and looking at all the different channels. That could be business development, that could be marketing, that could be branding, whatever it floats your boat. You've got to continue to play the game. You've got to continue to stay on the field and build that business, build that book. And it's all about being that lawyer, someone who's confident, organized, and a skilled rainmaker. If you're interested in learning more about Fritzen Inc. and what we do here every day, please check out my website at fretzen.com and see what we are all about. Also, you can follow me on LinkedIn, Facebook, et cetera. And the quote of the day today, and then I'm going to bring my guest in, is if you can't measure it, you can't measure it. And that is a Peter Drucker quote. And my guest today is Adam Arkfeld, who is the founder of Prevail Legal Marketing. What do you think about that quote?
Well, in our industry, luckily, as a benefit, measurement is at the core of what we do. You know, in other types of marketing, a lot of feeling, it's a lot of brand studies or like, you know, talking to people about their opinions. But for us, the nice thing about running paid advertising is you can measure everything and you can make every decision based on analytics and data. And so, you know, that's the world I live in. So for me, it's sort of like, how could you not live in that world? But it's foundational for what we do. And I think should be foundational for all marketing, to be honest.
So I picked a good quote.
Yeah, that quote's like, I'm actually going to start putting it on my proposals. That's exactly what we do every day.
Beautiful, beautiful. And in with business development too, it isn't just go out and network and go out and meet people and check in with clients. I mean, I have my clients working on activity journals where we're tracking how many meetings they're having, how are they converting to second meetings and all that stuff. And it all, what it does is it allows us to make changes. It allows us to adapt and improve what we're doing. And if you're not measuring it, then it's very hard to make those changes and make those improvements. So whether it's marketing or business development, I think that quote really resonates. So Adam, give us a little bit of background. Obviously, we've picked up on what you're going to talk about today, and that is, you know, marketing a law practice primarily focused on pay-per-click. But give us a little bit of your background and your history.
Yeah. And also just one quick comment on that quote. I think Sure. What measuring also does is it forces you to be honest, because a lot of times we think that we're doing certain things and we think that we're making so many calls and we think that we're putting in all this work. And then when we get to the end of the week and we only made 13 calls, you have to reconcile and look at yourself and be honest with it. So Yeah. That's the other part of measurement, is that it creates integrity.
And, the numbers don't lie, right?
Numbers don't lie. Yeah. Numbers do not lie. Yeah. So, you know, my path to marketing is a little bit, you know, I look at it as a path of, you know, lack of intention, to be quite honest. When I was in college and when I was younger, I was in hospitality. I worked at the Ritz-Carlton. You know, I was a valet there, and then I served tea in the tea room, white gloves and a suit. So that was a really interesting experience, but it taught me how to be strong at customer service, what people valued, what it meant to create loyal customers. The Ritz-Carlton is a very loyal customer following. After college, I got into commercial real estate for a bit. And then when the market crashed, a buddy of mine just said, hey, you want to build websites? Because I had a computer science degree. And I'm like, yeah, sure. Like, I made $0 in the last 18 months. So let's make some money. So Paracore was an agency that I had founded at the time. We built websites for 5 years. And then we switched into paid advertising. And that's where Prevail Legal Marketing came about. So my background is computer science. Also kind of, you know, reflects the quote that you had started the show with. But we've been doing paid ads, Google ads, Facebook ads, you know, Yelp, LinkedIn, whatever the case may be, for the last 7 years. And that's really our bread and butter and where we live and die right now. So Prevail Legal Marketing is just for attorneys. And we work on a performance basis where we're paid per lead instead of a retainer.
And is one of the main concerns that people have when they get involved in pay-per-click, it's just, hey, give us a big retainer every month and let's just let it fly.
Yeah. lawyers are severely taken advantage of by marketers. I mean, and the reason lawyers and a lot of businesses don't like marketers is because they get taken advantage of. It's not like the marketing industry is 100% sincere and pure and lawyers are getting a bad rap for having a negative outlook on the marketers. It's just like you have young marketers, you have inexperienced marketers, you have companies that don't have any accountability charging law firms a lot of money or having the law firms spend a lot of money with the advertising networks. And the results just aren't there to show for the effort. The ROI makes no sense whatsoever. So that leaves a lot of lawyers with a bad taste. And so the retainer amounts are high that marketers say lawyers have to spend, which is just simply not true in a lot of cases. And then the results aren't there because they're either inexperienced or there's issues with tracking or honestly, the attorney is not closing deals, which is, you know, where you spend a lot of your time. And, you know, a marketer to say, hey, you know, what about your sales process? It feels like the marketer might be a little defensive, but in all honesty, it's sales and marketing. They have to work hand in hand. Sometimes the sales process on the lawyer's side isn't strong enough to support inbound marketing. So there's a lot of variables there.
Yeah. I mean, I've worked with a number of pay-per-click and I don't do any of it anymore, but for a time I was working with someone and, you know, the ads weren't really working and the results weren't there. And I'm in a tough spot too, because, you know, most people don't want to talk to a sales coach. I've often said that my audience is like, if I'm a physical fitness trainer, my audience are obese people eating Twinkies. And that represents the lawyers who the last thing they want to do is think about building a business, or not my audience, of course, but everyone else, you know, thinking about building a book of business and hiring a coach is like, you know, scary, scary stuff. And there's money involved. Oh my God. And all that. But I think for me, I was just very rubbed. I was rubbed raw because A, the results weren't there. And B, you know, just there weren't changes being made to make improvements. And I was like, how are we just letting this run? You know, and so it just was like frustrating. And I'd have all these conversations. And the person also wasn't an expert in marketing to lawyers. And I think that was also a struggle. He kind of was an expert at everything, supposedly, but not, in my humble opinion, not really an expert at getting in front of lawyers. So I think I had a number of challenges. These are all my problems. But what are some of the things that you're seeing lawyers come to you with that they're complaining about? And obviously, you've hit a couple, but what are some of the other challenges that they're having to grow books?
Well, it's those challenges that you're describing, right? So, you know, when you say the ads aren't working, that is often the case. We talk to a lot of attorneys where the ads, quote unquote, aren't working. Now, it could either be the advertiser, the marketing company, or the freelancer they're with just isn't doing a good job. So that's a problem, you know. But I would say the core, like when I kind of think about how to like diagnose like what's going on in a marketing space, like if you have a campaign right now that's not working and you're sitting there thinking like, all right, this is not working. What do I do? The very, very, very first thing is to have clean metrics that you can rely upon. So that's just number one. It just has to be there because you can point fingers at each other all day. I've been in instances where I've been running a killer marketing campaign that I know is rock solid, and my client doesn't have the metrics on their side to attach value with my marketing campaign. And we've been let go, even though I know the marketing campaign is doing quite well and we're improving. So the metrics need to be just very clean on both sides, the client side and on our side. So I'd say that's number one.
But real quick, before you move on, would an example of that be that the leads are actually being generated, but their website isn't converting, or that the website's converting, like getting forms filled out, but then they're not doing a good job at like connecting the dots, like doing what's the onboarding or the getting them on the line and actually having a call or scheduling a meeting?
Yeah, that's a really, really good question. Sort of what you're describing is a marketing funnel. And so it's understanding which part of the funnel is breaking down.
Right.
So when we place ads, it's pay-per-click. So we place an ad on Google. When someone clicks the ad, then that's a visitor. And then you pay Google for that. So they're at the stage of the funnel where they hit the landing page, they see the landing page, then they need to convert on the landing page into a lead. So that's a lead. Then you need to determine if they're a qualified lead or not a qualified lead. So if you're a personal injury attorney, form is submitted, no injury, no insurance, not a qualified lead. So you can't even close that deal. It's just not a qualified lead.
Right.
But it's still a lead. So you just need to know that number. And then you look at the closing into a new client, into an acquisition. So you start looking at some of those numbers and you say, okay, and this is, it's purely math. This is just a math equation. And the math equation can be really easy. You say, okay, I'm running a personal injury campaign. My cost per lead is $100 per lead. So I got 10 form submissions. I go through my email and I'm like counting. All right, I got 10 forms this last month. And my ad manager said we spent $1,000. So it's $100 per lead. Very basic. And then you say, okay, how many of those were qualified? You go through the forms, and this is the basic rudimentary way to do it.
Sure.
And you look at the forms and you say, okay, well, 5 of those are actually potential cases. So my cost per qualified lead is now $200. Great. How many of those did I close? I closed 1. So I had my cost per acquisition was $1,000. So now you can use that data and say, is this campaign actually working for me? There are a lot of personal injury attorneys that would kill for $1,000 cost per acquisition. There are a lot of bankruptcy attorneys that would turn off a campaign tomorrow at $1,000 cost per acquisition tomorrow because it's way too high. So what that also does is it highlights which part of your marketing and sales is breaking down. If your cost per lead is $500, then that's too high for bankruptcy. So it doesn't matter what you close at, like it's just too high. So then you know that the marketer is broken or their campaign is broken. Then you fire that person and find someone else to bring it down. If their cost per lead is $75 and you're getting a ton of leads, a cost per qualified lead of $150 and you can't close them, then that's something to look internally. Just be real honest with yourself. And that's where the measurement creates integrity for the marketer, creates integrity for the law firm. And then you determine where you need to spend your time and focus.
And maybe that's where we collaborate, right? So your job is to get people the lead, to get the people to the landing page, to get the conversion. Then when they go into the law firm, how the law firm is managing those inbound leads, how are they following through email, phone call? How are they setting up an appointment? How are they getting someone in the door to have that conversation about the injury, for example? That's my job, right? That's where I'm trying to get them over the hump. So we need to work together to put marketing and business development in, you know, to make sure that things aren't slipping through the cracks because you don't have a good process or you don't have a good way of approaching it and you're just burning through money.
Yeah. And you know, you're totally right. Sales and marketing have to work together. And what I think is most important is when an attorney or whoever's running the marketing has a general mindset of, you know, this marketing does work. And it's a matter of me just figuring it out for my firm. I talk to a lot of attorneys and marketers where they're so skeptical of pay-per-click that they expect it to fail. And then when they expect it to fail, they're looking for all the reasons that it's going to fail instead of expecting it to succeed and looking for all the reasons it's going to succeed. And the way I think about that is we have an attorney here in town that spends roughly $100,000 a month on bankruptcy marketing. And so if you're a bankruptcy attorney in my market and you're looking at pay-per-click and you're like, I don't know if pay-per-click works. Like, it doesn't seem like it works. You know, I'm not going to do pay-per-click. Like, well, you might want to consider the fact that someone's spending $100,000 a month in your market, and which is clearly a very large firm. So pay-per-click does work. You just haven't gotten it to work yet. That's not a knock. That's just, again, facts and, you know, truth, you know, kind of that integrity thing. It's just, that's just the data. The data is there are people killing it.
And people, Adam, lawyers, pay-per-click isn't for everybody. And I think there's a misconception about pay-per-click that you know, it doesn't work for some and it works for others. There are particular industries or practice areas that are better for pay-per-click than others. So if I'm a big-time litigator working with general counsels at big corporations who are never going to use Google to find a lawyer, pay-per-click isn't for me, right? I wouldn't want to spend a nickel on it, let alone $1 million. So who would you say pay-per-click works best for?
In our experience, pay-per-click is best for B2C. B2B, it's much more difficult. And I've seen that in other industries as well.
Sure.
So like you said, litigators, you know, no. Business lawyers, I would say no. Contract lawyers, real estate attorneys, those types of things, I would say no. Where we spend the most time is criminal defense, bankruptcy, personal injury, obviously, you know, those, you know, immigration, employment law, those are where you're finding high volumes of people and getting it out there. When it's a B2B relationship, that's just not really how you can make a little money. It's generally relationships, right? Like, it's just not the primary way to find business.
Yeah. I mean, maybe there would be some social media marketing, and I don't know if you get into that, but there are people that do highly targeted social media marketing And that might be okay for B2B because you're targeting other lawyers or you're targeting general counsels or CEOs or people in areas or places around the country in different positions. But I think pay-per-click, yeah. I mean, you're in it looking at the B2C and then if you're not doing it, you might get left behind. I guess that's the kind of the trick.
You know, it just depends on what people's goals are, right? I believe we're generally one of the most expensive forms of marketing when it comes to your cost per lead and cost per acquisition. We're clearly more expensive than referrals. We're generally more expensive than SEO. However, we have the benefit of being able to scale typically. So it depends on what your goal is. I mean, if you want to build a firm that's going to scale rapidly, I think pay-per-click generally has to be in the mix, especially if you're B2C. If you're not really needing business, you're kind of trying to supplement, you don't want to really double your ad spend and like really hone all your energy on getting this to work, it's probably just going to limp along and maybe not be a big contributor to your business because it's just not the focus. It does need a lot of care and attention, and things change all the time, which is a whole nother conversation about one thing that worked. You know, I hear all the time, 4 years ago, I was doing this, and I'm just like, 4 years ago, like Facebook increased their ad cost 30% in just the last year, let alone all their targeting is like out the window. Like 4 years is an eternity. 6 months ago is as much as I'll listen to, because more than 6 months, things just change way too much.
Yeah. Or how about someone that has a 10-year-old website? I mean, you might as well have a 10-year-old computer at this point, right?
Yes. Yes. Yeah.
So what are some other marketing tips and tricks around, you know, websites, business, pay-per-click, et cetera, that you either do or that you suggest to people to help increase conversions or to help increase, you know, lead flow?
Yeah, I would say the one area that we're spending a considerable amount of time in, which has a little bit of a higher barrier to entry, is YouTube advertising. So to create a little bit of context, Google has about 5 billion searches a day. And on YouTube, there are about 5 billion views a day, videos. As you know, most everybody talks about Google search and rarely people talk about YouTube, but there's tremendous inventory. And what people also don't know is that targeting is exactly the same. You can target based on keywords in YouTube, which is a little bit counterintuitive. I don't mean searching on YouTube. I mean, if someone goes to Google and they search for personal injury attorney, you can actually target that person on YouTube and show the ad to them, even though you didn't buy an ad on Google. Sometimes when you put in the word attorney, it gets a little complicated, but the concept is you're able to target people on YouTube just like you can on Google. So I think YouTube has been and will continue to be an untapped resource, and people that are willing to make the investment to make it work, you have to create videos, you have to spend some money on it, will have an entry into a market that most other attorneys are not tackling.
And I think the video, the barrier to entry for videos changed significantly too, right? I mean, I've done videos that were multi-camera lights. I had makeup on. I mean, things like that back, 10, 15 years ago. And today I think I'm willing to watch a video of someone just talking at me on the camera if it's a topic that I'm interested in. And maybe there's some props or there's some, he's using a whiteboard or something like that. But I'll or some graphics thrown in. But it's pretty cheap and easy, wouldn't you? I mean, is that what you're saying?
Yeah. And, if you're willing to get in front of a camera and you can speak relatively fluently with good lighting, you need good lighting and sound, you can knock out a video in 30 minutes, right? I mean, a 2-minute video, you could take care of in an hour. And if you're not comfortable in front of video, you can hire a script writer to write a script, hire someone on Fiverr to record it for $100, and then hire an editor on Fiverr for $50. And you can get a video created for less than $500 that's simplifying everything. That's the production process and the time. You need a level of expertise to like know what to do. But you're not spending $5,000 on a video. A commercial on YouTube doesn't work, right? Someone is watching a video, and when the pre-roll ad comes up, if it's a commercial, it's a commercial. Like, you don't touch your TV screen when a commercial comes on because there's no real call to action. It's like maybe call a phone number or something. On a YouTube video, you have someone talking to the consumer. You say, hey, have you been injured in a car accident? Do you think you might have a claim, but you're not sure, blah, 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 blah. And you're just talking. And then you say, if you're interested in a free assessment, click the link below. You're going to see a survey, put in a couple of details, tell us about your case, and you get a free case evaluation, see if you get money. So you're just talking to them, not saying, we are this, we did this, we are this. That doesn't work. You have to speak to them like you're selling a person in real life.
Yeah. And what's a phone anyway? I don't even, who's calling a number at this point? I know it's happening, but I don't think my phone rings more than a couple times a week at this point. It's all text and email and direct messaging and all that kind of stuff. So we've turned a corner. I mean, I think I used to have to worry about my phone going off all the time in meetings. I don't even turn the volume off anymore. I just let it sit and it's quiet.
I'll tell you what though, in consumer advertising, there's a lot of phone calls for B2C attorneys. Like we use, so another sort of like, you know, tip or trick that I think is really important is using a call tracking software, especially if you're in B2C. We use CallRail. We like CallRail a lot. And what it does is it allows you to track every, so, you know, kind of back to the metrics of, is my campaign working? It's like, okay, well, we went through this scenario before. You got 10 leads for $1,000, $100 a lead. But maybe you don't have a tracking phone number and you actually got 20 leads, but you just didn't have a tracking number and you got these calls and you're like, oh, hey, great. Oh, you're calling in about bankruptcy? Great. I'd love to talk to you. But 10 of those came from your ad campaign. So your cost per lead actually wasn't 100, it was actually 50. And your cost per acquisition wasn't actually 1,000, it was 500 or, you know, any variation in between. That is huge. That's a massive difference. And that's why I say sometimes the marketing campaign can be working and the law firm doesn't even know it.
Yeah.
It's just as bad for the law firm to think that you're underperforming, for you to be overperforming and the law firm not know it, than to be underperforming, right? I mean, you just need clarity of data and a call tracking platform really helps with that.
Yeah. I mean, every single client that I sign up or that works with me, I know exactly where they, I always ask or I always know where they came from because there's a thank you that has to go out. There's a gift that needs to be sent. There's tracking involved in knowing that, okay, now X percent of my business, 50% of my business are coming from referrals and 25% are coming from, you know, web leads. And, you know, you need to know that because that helps you determine, you know, where you should continue to spend your time and energy and money. And people aren't doing it. They're just kind of letting the year happen, come and go. And that's not going to give you the data or the information you need to make better decisions in 2022.
Yeah, that's totally right. I mean, without the data, don't even start a campaign. If you're not willing to track it, just don't even waste the time.
Yeah, got it. So when you're when someone's looking to select an agency to do pay-per-click, and there's, I'm sure at this point, thousands out there, what should they be doing to make sure they don't get the agency or the individual that it doesn't have the right experience or doesn't have the right talent or doesn't, you know, that they don't make a misstep? Is there a way for them to sort of validate who the ones are that they should be talking to?
Yeah, this is a great question. I really think it's incredibly important for attorneys and law firms to know how agencies work. So the way agencies work is typically someone starts an agency and they're really good at one thing. They might be really good at PR. They might be really good at website development. They might be really good at something else. They do a good job. Then their clients say, hey, can you do social media or can you run ads for us? And then this agency starts to grow. And they go, oh yeah, we can do social media for sure. Like they want to grow. They want to take the business, right? So they go from being very good at one thing, a freelancer, a small agency, into a full service agency where they're offering many services. Now, what's important to know is if you have a agency of 20 people, which is a pretty decent size agency, and you're full service, you might offer 8 services, website development, SEO, pay-per-click, PR, content writing, video, whatever, right? I just listed off 6 in a heartbeat. Sure. Now you have some leadership, you have some management. That means you might have 1 or 2 people that oversee each of those services. So what you get is a very diluted experience base in each of the services. So like jack of all trades, master of none is basically what's happening there. So that's a full service agency. I believe strongly, and I have since I started, in specialist agencies, which are, you know, having a company that just does pay-per-click or just does website development or just does SEO for personal injury attorneys. Because you will have, if you have 10 people half the size just doing pay-per-click, you're going to have 7 or 8 pay-per-click experts operating, working together, collaborating, building legal campaigns, a little bit of management, a little bit of leadership, which is 3 times as many experts in the full service agency that's twice the size. So as an attorney, you just hammer the agency on on how their company works and what they're good at, where they started, and how many people they have in a role. I think it's totally legitimate to say, how many people do you have running ads in your agency? Well, we have three. Okay. How long have each of them been there? Well, one's been here for 5 years, one's been here for a year, one's been here for 6 months. Okay. If I hire you, do I get the 5-year guy? Because that's a lot different than the 6-month guy. And they're going to be like, well, yeah, sure. And it's like, okay, well, then you get the 5-year guy. And then 9 months in, they say, we're going to transition your account. It's like, great. How much time has that guy had? So asking those questions and just digging in and challenging the agency, I think is really healthy. Because what that does is it illuminates how the agency works and how it operates. With our model, the way that we work is we guarantee a certain lead price. So what I wanted to do was I wanted to take a lot of that uncertainty out of the equation and just say, listen, even if I hire someone new and they work on your account, you're guaranteed a lead price. So if they bomb the account, it's going to cost me money. So someone might say, I want to spend $5,000 a month in advertising. I might say, okay, for this practice area, it's $100. We're going to guarantee $100 per lead. You will not pay more than $100. I'm going to try and generate the lead for less than that. So I have a margin. That's how we make money. If I bring in a crappy advertiser and your cost per lead goes up to $125, the law firm is still paying $100. I will literally lose money on that account. So it's a risk mitigator, and it just creates more, well, it reduces risk in the relationship and allows us to operate. Like, I do need to bring in new people. Every agency does, but I don't want that to negatively affect my clients. So
you're kind of keeping your eye on everything to make sure that your clients are happy and successful. And even if they're working with someone new, it's not like they're on their own with that new person. You're going to make sure that it's profitable for everybody.
Yeah. And, you know, the way that we operate is when we bring in, you know, so this is kind of aside from that. When we bring in someone new, we actually don't assign them to accounts on their own. So this is just kind of an extra, and because, I mean, not because we're on a margin basis, but you know, we need to keep the accounts performing. I cannot afford to have accounts not performing. And my clients can't afford to have accounts not performing. It's like, neither of us can afford it. And so what I want to do is balance the scales and the responsibility. And to give you an example, October, when we're filming this, is like the worst month my company has had in like a year. I don't know what's happening in October, but lead prices are garbage and our entire model is just like destroyed this month. But you know what? Our clients are still getting their leads. We have some campaigns that have started losing money, some where the margin's really compressed. I think it's kind of a back to school sort of like thing before the holidays. I don't know, but
maybe it's a sober October. We need to get people drunk again. So
I didn't know that was a thing, but it might be sober October.
Sounds sobering. Well, listen, it sounds like you've got a great gig over there and a really interesting model. And I hope that you continue to build it back up and thrive. Let's do this. Let's transition over to the three best of, and you're in Chandler, Arizona, which is right near Scottsdale and Phoenix and all that. So I'm coming out to visit you, which I would love to do. I used to live out in Flagstaff for a little bit after I graduated. I used to go down to Scottsdale and Phoenix and I hit Sedona and all the beautiful country out there. But what's like your favorite place to eat? So I'm going to take you out for dinner. Where are we going?
Well, favorite place. There's a place in downtown Phoenix called Perception. You spell it really oddly. It's like PERCEPSHIN. It's like, it's not how you spell perception. That place is incredible. So that's more of a nice dinner. It's not like super fancy, but it's like a chef.
Yeah.
However, Mexican food is like the jam here in Phoenix.
Sure.
And so we recently discovered this place called Espo's by Chandler Mall, where we just moved here sort of recently in this part of town. And it is really exceptional. It's hole in the wall-ish, but amazing Mexican food. Great green chili.
I'm all about that. I'm all about that.
Super good.
So before we eat, because after we eat, I'm going to need to take a siesta. But if I'm coming out your way, what's something that is exciting for someone from out of town that you'd want to say, hey, we have to go see this or do this?
If I can choose the time someone's coming,
go for
it. Coming at the end of January, the Waste Management Open is a famous golf tournament here in town because the 16th hole is like a sporting event. Have you seen anything about the 16th?
I don't know about that. No.
Okay. You should Google it. Everybody should Google it. 16th hole, Waste Management Open.
Okay.
What they do is it's a par three and they put stadium seating around hole 16 and it's rowdy. It's cheering. I mean, it's aggressively rowdy. It's like a sporting event and there's no other hole like it in golf. And the entire golf tournament is a party. I don't think golfers particularly like this tournament because it is a party, but it is an amazing week of golf and fun. And I mean, it's really fun.
Okay. So not happening in sober October.
This is not happening in sober October. This is happening like the opposite. In drunk January.
January. Yeah. All right. Perfect. And what are the locals into other than drunk January hole 16? What are people doing every day, you know, that they're just loving about the area?
You know, Phoenix is all about the weather, right? The summer's garbage here. So in the summer, people are leaving. So they're going to San Diego and California. But I think really what people are doing is people are coming down here to golf. They're hiking down here. They're staying out at the pool when the weather's crappy throughout the rest of the country. They're visiting resorts and they're just outside. So even when it's cold here, it's not that cold. You know, it'll get down to 40 or 50.
Yeah.
But for here, it's all about the weather. And, you know, people just talk about being outside. And then there's an influx of snowbirds from other parts of the country come, you know, January in particular.
Awesome. Awesome. Well, Adam, thank you so much. If people want to get in touch with you and hear more about your business, Prevail Legal Marketing, how do they get in touch?
Yeah, I would just go to our domain is growwithprevail.com. You can type in Prevail Legal Marketing though, and we have an ad that comes up. That's the best place to learn about what we do. You know, we do performance-based marketing, so we're only incentivized when we actually do well. And that's sort of our position in the market. And, you know, we primarily work with B2C attorneys. So you can visit us there, fill out a form, and I'll be the one to talk to you.
Fantastic. Well, thank you so much for spending your time and sharing your wisdom and giving us an education on pay-per-click best practices. I know for some attorneys out there, they're just curious about it. Others are wondering, you know, whether they should get themselves in the game or not. So I think this was highly informative for my audience. I appreciate it.
Great. Thanks for having me, Steve. Appreciate it.
Yeah. And hey, everybody, thanks for listening today and spending some time with Adam and myself. And listen, it's all about being that lawyer, someone who is confident, organized, and a skilled rainmaker. Stay safe, stay well. We'll talk again soon. Bye-bye.
Thanks for listening to Be That Lawyer. Life-changing strategies and resources for growing a successful law practice. Visit Steve's website, fretson.com, for additional information and to stay up to date on the latest legal business development and marketing trends. For more information and important links about today's episode, check out today's show notes.